And we're reading from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20. And we're in verse 15. We're going to start from 14. It says, "Stand therefore and fasten, stand firm then, and with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." It's the gospel of peace, because it brings us peace with God. Of having faith in Jesus and accepting Jesus in life and coming before God and recognizing who we are. And recognizing that God loves us. And that we're loved by God and we're valued by God. And He loved us so much that He gave us Jesus to die on the cross for us, to rise again. To defeat death. And to open up the gates of heaven that we might walk up the hill and ascend the hill of the Lord into the presence and the glory of God. But something else happened when that peace was made with God. Jesus said, "We won't be alone." When He died and ascended to heaven, "We're not going to be alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will live in you, which is the very presence and the power of God in your life." That's amazing, isn't it? I don't think we ever comprehend that as Christians, do we? You know, it was great Jesus was there. It was great that Jesus came, but Jesus even said, "I'm sending you something better. I've got to go because there's something better, and we're living in the something better than Jesus." Isn't that incredible? What could be better than Jesus? "That you will do greater things than I. You will see incredible, mighty works of God as the Spirit moves in you and around you, bringing the fragrance of God to those that you meet." But when you put the shoes on, which takes you to the gospel of peace. Again, in Roman times, they used to wear nice sandals. And the soldiers would wear good leather sandals, because they'll be walking hundreds, if not thousands of miles, and you need good shoes. We know that, don't we? If you don't want to walk over 1,000 miles in high heels, would you? It's not really the best thing to do. And these sandals would have solid leather sole. And sometimes they had brass bolts in them that should help them stand firm and get a better grip. As they walked through mud, as they fought the enemy, they could stand firm where the enemy slipped and fell around them, and they could slay the enemy around them, and they could stand there, stand their ground and fight the battle. They could walk mile after mile. They could go to where they were called to go as soldiers. And sometimes the enemy would leave spikes in the ground, and if your soles weren't thick enough and you stood on one of those spikes, it would go right through your sole and it would pierce your foot. And the thing is, if your feet got injured, where could you go? What could you do? If you can't walk, if you can't run, if you're hobbling along and every time you go you're in pain and you can't respond and you've got your enemy coming against you, you've got things coming against you, the circumstances coming against you, and you can't respond and you can't move as you intend to move because your feet are injured and damaged. So the gospel to us is that protection. The gospel is the shoes we wear that enable us to walk where God requires to walk, to fight the battles that we're required to fight, to stand firm when we need to stand firm, to respond when we need to respond, to take action when we need to respond, because our feet aren't ready. If they're damaged, if they're hurt, if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, we're finished, aren't we? And so what is that gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's our identity, it's who we stand in. It's what God has done for us. As Christians, we let people steal who Jesus is for us. People just say he's a man, he's a good man. There's people who say many things about Jesus, but we know, I know, through our relationship with him, I know he is the Son of God. I know from the Word of God that he is the Son of God. He is my salvation. Into my life, something happened, something transformed, something changed. I was no longer my own, I was God's. That sin that was in my life was taken out. All that was horrible, all that was evil, all that was bad. And I can pretend, yeah, I'm a good person. Yeah, I can be a good person, I can be a nice person, but at the heart of it, I can be a horrible person. And God took all that was in me, all that was wrong, all that was bad, and he took that and it went upon that cross in Jesus. And the righteousness of Jesus came into my heart and lived within me, and I was set free, because it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about my sin. It wasn't about my right or wrong. It wasn't about my works. It wasn't about my actions, but it was about Jesus Christ and what he had done for me, and the awe and the incredibility of that, and how wonderful and how amazing that God would do that for me. That the Word of God would die upon the cross and take my sin upon himself and give me his righteousness, that I might stand firm and say, I am loved, I am valued, I am his. And whatever anybody says against me, I do not stand in my own righteousness, because that will only take me to hell. But I stand in the righteousness of Christ and his glory and his presence. And I stand in his victory and declare who he is and what he has done in my life. Because anything else doesn't matter. The first importance, the primary importance, is what Jesus has done in me and how he has transformed me, how he has changed me, how he has loved me, how he has filled me, how he has anointed me. And see, the enemy tries to take that away. And we think it's all about other things. You know, holiness is important. We want to be holy. We're called to be holy. But being holy doesn't make us righteous. It just makes us like Jesus. It takes us closer to God. Our salvation and who we are, identity, is only in Christ and his righteousness. And we stand in that. Went to St. John's in Alistair this morning. It was lovely, lovely people. It was a lovely time of worship together. But as I talked about what Jesus done in my heart, I started to get a tear cry about. I think they got a bit of a shock. It just says, nice to see somebody passionate. But you know, sometimes when I talk about what God's done for me in Jesus Christ, nothing else, it doesn't matter what anything else, it doesn't matter about my life or studies or how good, but just what he's done in that cross for me, just what the salvation that he's gained for me, just the righteousness that he's given me, that I can stand before God and know that I'm loved and valued. That God's plan always for me that it was to reveal His love to me and how much He loves me. And the enemy and other people are trying to take that away from me and steal that away from me and tell me other things. I refuse it. Because you know what happens when you don't stand firm in whom Jesus is, you become a bit like a soldier with bad shoes on. You can't respond. You can't fight. You can't move. You can't respond. You can't take action. You can't take to attack the enemy because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you belong to. You don't know where your righteousness comes from. You don't know that you're loved by God. You're just trying many things and to do many things to find the love of God when you're just loved. He's done it all in Jesus to declare how much He loves you. And are you ready to accept it and live in it? How many times do we go and say, I'm not sure if I'm loved. I'm not sure if God cares for me. I'm not sure what God wants for me. Do you know what God wants for you? He wants you to stand in awe and go, wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving everything for me. Thank you for loving me. Do you know what? I'm so in awe. It's just so incredible. It's just so incredible. How do I respond? How do we respond? Well, what do we do? Do we go, thank you, now I can carry on my life? Can you carry on after your life after that? If somebody's done so incredible, brought transformation and change in your life, can you carry on that when you know you're loved for nothing that you've done and nothing that you can do? That you're loved for who you are. There's so many people so ready to tell you what you are, who you are, what you should be, how you should act, how you should behave, societal norms. Our young people are bombarded left and right and center. And we're being told here how to enable them to stand firm. If you want them to stand firm, live in the knowledge of your salvation. Let it get in your heart. Let it excite you. Let what Jesus done make you crazy and excited and happy and joyful and loved and valued and important. Let it overwhelm you that you just can't control it anymore. That everywhere you go, you just weep because it's glorious. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. And Paul says, the first importance. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. He doesn't try and get doctrinal. He doesn't try to be overcomplicated. This is the gospel that changed your life. This is simplicity that changed your life. This is the moment that changed your life. This is when you realized that you were loved by God and valued and empowered. This is the moment when Christ came into your life and everything else just went dull. And Christ became center of your life. Which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Isn't it time to take a stand? The gospel's been preached to you. You've received it. Have you received it? If you haven't, let us pray for you, please. Please let us. You need to receive this gospel. You need to receive this good news. You need to receive Jesus Christ in your life. You cannot carry on without this knowledge of who He is and what He has done for you and how He loves you. You cannot live without it. Lots of Christians do. But don't make that decision. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Are you believing in vain? Are you powerless? Are you empty? Have you received that moment of salvation, accepted it, and let it slip away? Because you're not willing to stand firm, because it's too hard, it's too challenging, it's too much. Or people make fun of you, or the world mocks you, or people think you're crazy, or people don't like you because you're happy all the time. You're filled with joy and love, and you're good to people because you just feel so overwhelmed by the love of God. You can't help but being loving and having a giggle sometimes. Sorry. Have you believed in vain? Have you forgot the cost of your salvation? Have you not captured the love of God in your heart? For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sin according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day and according to Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all appeared to me as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. Amen. By the grace of God I am what I am. By the grace of God you are what you are. And He can say that because He was living in the power of His salvation, of who God is. And His grace to me was not without effect. His grace to me was not without effect. He went out and tried to change the world with a simple gospel message. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. For what I have received, I have passed on as first importance. What's the first importance that you want to pass on? Now think about what is first importance and what you are passing on. And is it Jesus Christ? Do people experience you that Jesus Christ is of the first importance? And that what you have received is of first importance to pass on to everyone you meet, to your family, to your children, to your friends, to your neighbors, to everyone you meet, no matter how much bad they think you are, but this is of first importance. Is it of first importance? How many of our children we're losing because our families are not making it first importance? Your child may never be a ballerina, but they can enjoy the glory and the power and presence of God if you teach them what is of first importance. And the trials will come, and the waves will come, and the difficulties will come, and things will come and challenge your thoughts and your mind. But within that, you've got to stand firm within your mind, renewed and transformed, of thinking of the first importance of Christ, who died for you, who gave his life for you, that you might ascend the hill of the Lord, that you might experience the presence and the power of the Lord, that you might stand loved and justified and forgiven before the living God, that you might be today excited. And happy and joyful and uncontainable because of what he's done for you and for me. Let's get back to our first love, our first importance. Let's be excited. Let the Holy Spirit excite us. Let the Holy Spirit move us. Let the Holy Spirit give us passion. Let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Let's move in that power of the Spirit. Let's trust God for the opportunities and the moments. But let's just live in joy and love. My goodness me, people are going to ask you everywhere you go, why are you in love? Who are you in love with? Let me tell you about Jesus, the Son of God. Not complicated doctrines, teachings, however useful they are, but let me tell you about Jesus and how I've received him and how you can receive him, and how your life can be transformed, how your heart can be warmed, how you can be renewed, how you can experience joy, how you can hear and hope, how you can experience freedom and healing and break those chains in your life, those habits, those things that have been holding you down, those thoughts, those mind, that mind of yours which can be twisted and contorted, how he can heal you and transform you and renew you and take that place of glory. So trust in him. Be in love with him. Be thankful for all that he's done for you. And just let it overflow, my goodness me. There's nothing else to it, is there, really? If we're all a bit crazy in love with Jesus, my goodness, people are going to figure it out eventually, aren't they? What are all these mad people at the domestic church doing? They're just in love with Jesus. There's no better thing. And you can search for all the things, you can drive for all the things, but there's nothing that's going to satisfy like him. There's nothing better than his presence and his joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you for your incredible presence this evening. We thank you that you are with us, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, although we interrupted your presence with this word, we just pray that you may use this word for your glory and for your purpose. Lord, that you may truly help us to remember the joy of our salvation, to remember all that you have done for us and through us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, just excite us that we might experience revival in our lives, that we might become a move of God, that we might become transformative in our families, in our church, in our community, in our neighborhood, that, Lord, that we might see the transformation of our community around us through the transformation that's happening tonight in this place and this evening now within our hearts. Lord, do break our hearts, but make them new in love for you. Break them for the world. Break them for sin. Break them for hatred. Break them for bitterness. Break them for jealousy. Break them for evil. Break them for the desires of the world. Break them for distractions, Father. And make it anew in love for you and for you only, that you are the first, the primary importance in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.